Hello and welcome to Super Great Kids Stories, wise tales from storytellers around the world, which will make you laugh and sometimes cry. Recommended for ages 5 to 105. I'm Kim and I love stories. Hello, Super Great Kids, and how are you? I've got lots of reasons to be cheerful today. Our school holidays are just beginning and spring is in the air with the trees shaking out their lime green dresses. And I've been busy choosing which stories to include in our book. And finally, as our theme at the moment is trickster stories, we've got an Anansi Spider story for you, told by storyteller Wendy Shearer, who told us how Leopard got his spots. Now, just before Wendy shares her story, why don't you think about which stories you'd include if you were putting together a book of favourite Super Great Kids stories, while we have a quick word with the grown-ups. Hello, Super Great Kids. Did you come up with a list of your favourite stories? It's hard to choose, isn't it? Everyone has different favourites. Now, are you ready to hear what Anansi is up to in this week's trickster story? Are you sitting comfortably? Am I sitting comfortably? Then let's give a warm welcome to Wendy Shearer.
Hello, Super Great Kids. My name is Wendy and I am a storyteller and a writer. I have a fantastic tale to tell you from the Ashanti people of Ghana in West Africa. This is the story of Anansi and the Unknown Challenge. I'd like to invite you all to come way, way back in time with me. Our story begins along the western coast of Africa, and it begins with a king. A king that was so wealthy, his palace stretched for miles along the coast, and it was steeped in gold. They say that his guards carried spears of solid gold, and their shields were lined with gold, and the walls of his palaces were dripping with silken drapes and tapestries. This king loved to collect unusual, magical golden objects. He would keep them down below in his treasure chamber, enjoying them all to himself. There were two things that this king desperately wanted to get hold of, but he knew he never could. A pair of golden sandals that could take the wearer anywhere they wanted to go, swiftly, faster than the wind. And a bowl. A golden bowl said to never, ever run dry, but always be overflowing with the most delicious food. But the king could never get hold of these two golden objects because they belonged to Death. And Death lived at the edge of their kingdom in the Forbidden Forest, where no one ever ventured or returned. Now, also in the same village, lived our friend Anansi. And Anansi had no money, no wealth, but he was known to be very, very wise, so clever that in fact the king's own advisers would go to Anansi if they needed some help. And the king, well, he did not like this very much. He was a little bit envious of Anansi's wisdom. And Anansi was envious of the king's wealth. He dreamed of having all of that luxury and money. And our trickster decided that he would find a way to get some of it. One bright sunny day, when the sun was blazing down hot upon everyone's head, Anansi decided to carry out his plan. He ventured down into the marketplace. He positioned himself in the middle of the square, Alongside him, all of the people were setting up their stalls and their wares, and Anansi sat in the sunshine and began to brag. He was boasting and bragging about how clever he was. He bragged all morning, and when he saw the king's advisers, his bragging and boasting got even louder. "I am so wise, I could get anything for the king without even knowing what it is that the king wants." Imagine that. Well, when the advisers heard this, of course, they rushed back to tell the king about Anansi's boasting, and the king was not pleased. He summoned Anansi to him, and along came the trickster. He bowed his head low and stood before the king, pretending to be humble. "You dare to boast that you are more wise than me?" bellowed the king. Anansi pretended to be a little bit scared, but instead his eyes were looking around at all of the gold and wealth in the palace.
Oh, yes, king, I was boasting, I was bragging," he said. "But only because it is true. I could sort anything out for anyone. Put me to the test."
And the king thought for a minute. He would put Anansi to the test. Maybe this was a way to get rid of this boastful creature.
"I will give you a challenge," he said to Anansi. "And I won't tell you what this challenge is. I will only reveal it to my trusted advisers. You have 3 days to complete this challenge. And if you do, Anansi, I will let you enter my treasure chamber and fill your pockets with as much gold and wealth as you can carry out." Anansi couldn't believe his luck. He could hardly hide his happiness. "But," said the king, "if you fail this challenge, you will be put to death." Well, Anansi had no choice but to accept the challenge. To the king's surprise, he looked pleased, bowed his head, and said he would be on his way. Anansi scurried home. He had no idea what the king secretly wanted. What could this challenge be? He knew that the king loved to collect magical golden objects, but he had no idea what the king had set his sights upon. He needed a plan. He needed a way to find out. Perhaps he could ask the advisers. They would all owe him a favour. But he knew that the advisers would only tell the king. And so Anansi decided to ask for some help for some other friends. Anansi ventured into the forest. He summoned all of the birds in the kingdom. They all owed him a favour. The hummingbirds, the parrots, all of them fluttered their golden wings and they came to find out what Anansi wanted. He puffed up his chest and tried to look very important. "Birds, birds, birds," he said. Come. "I have a favour to ask of you all. I'm on a secret, important mission for the king. I cannot tell you what it is, but I need one of your wonderful, colourful feathers from each of you for my disguise."
All the birds were intrigued, and they all bowed their heads and tutted and cooed. They loved Anansi. He was always helping them out. And so, without any hesitation, each one of the colourful birds plucked off one of their feathers and gave it to Anansi.
The trickster gathered the feathers up and he dashed home to his wife, Aso, who wondered what the trickster was up to this time.
Help me," he said. "Help me cover myself with all of these wonderful feathers. I am getting dressed for a disguise."
And so Anansi covered his arms and his legs and his body and his feet, his head into a magnificent crest. He had so many feathers, only his eyes were showing. He had so many feathers that he could flutter his arms and lift his feet off the ground.
"Look at me," he cried. "I can fly."
And Anansi fluttered his wings. He flew out of his house, up, up, up into the air, and he soared all the way over to the king's palace.
He perched himself on a giant baobab tree that was in the king's courtyard. And he began ruffling his feathers and twisting and turning in the sunlight, making sure that everyone could see him. When the king came out, followed by his council of elders, he looked up into the tree and saw this bird. "What is the name of that bird?" he cried. "Look at its magnificent wings. Look at that tail. Look at the glorious crest on its head." But the advisers all shook their heads and looked blank. They had never seen such a bird. "Oh, what a shame! I have given Anansi the unknown challenge of getting the golden plate and golden sandals from death. I could have made him tell me the name of that bird." The king was so cross with himself. Anansi had now heard what the challenge was. He was feeling mighty pleased, but then the king cried out, "Capture that bird. I want it for my collection." And the king's guards gathered their nets and rushed up to the baobab tree. They flung it into the air. Anansi just had enough time to flutter his wings and lift himself off from the tree. He managed to get away. He flew home quickly and rid himself of his disguise. He now knew that he needed to make a dangerous journey to the house of death. "Aso, Aso, come, come, help me quickly," he called out to his wife. "Please help me prepare. I am going to find death. I am going to steal from death." "Oh, you silly man," she cried. "No one can steal from death. Death will swallow you up and eat you in one bite." But Anansi was not scared. He liked a challenge and he was filled with confidence. He paid her no mind. And so Aso prepared some fried plantain, some spicy jollof rice. She wrapped everything in banana leaves and helped Anansi set off on his way. He crossed the village, went through the kingdom, and passed into the Forbidden Forest, where all is not what it seems. After a while, he became a little hungry. And so he sat down by a stream and started to eat some of his food. And then he heard the stream gently call out to him. "Anansi! Anansi! No one ever ventures here. We are hungry. Give us some of your food." Now, Anansi doesn't like to share his food, but he thought he might need the stream's help later. And so he sprinkled some rice into the water and told it, "If I pass back this way, remember to help me." Then he packed up his belongings and walked further and further, deeper and deeper into the forest. Darkness had descended all around him and terror was clinging and hanging from the trees. He looked down and he noticed a swarming army of angry red fire ants swarming all around his feet. He was terrified. But they were not angry with him. They were merely hungry and they begged him for some food. "Anansi, Anansi, no one ever comes this way. Give us some of your food." And Anansi again thought, "I don't really want to share, but I might need the ants' help later." So he sprinkled some food on the ground and told them to look out for him if he came back this way. The weather started to turn a little bit bad. A storm was brewing, the wind was howling, and the ground felt uneasy underneath Anansi's feet. It was rocky and hard, and he didn't know if he was stepping on stones or merely bones. He began to feel quite scared and wondered if maybe, just maybe, he should turn back. And as he was hesitating in the darkness, he heard a voice. "Anansi, welcome. Welcome to my home." Anansi spun around and just made out two pale grey eyes in the distance and a tall, dark, shadowy figure. He could not see clearly, but he knew he was staring at the face of death. And death was pleased because no one ever came this far unless they were banished or lost. Death pushed back the brambles to reveal his small, windowless hut. Come, Anansi, come into my home. You must be tired from your travels. Come and sleep. Death was pleased, for here was the legendary trickster, and he couldn't wait to eat him. Anansi entered Death's home and was welcomed into a long, dark corridor, and at the end was a single door. Death pushed open the door to reveal a small bed.
You can stay here for the night, Anansi, and in the morning we will have a wonderful breakfast feast. Now go to sleep.
Death could not wait for Anansi to close his eyes so he could gobble him all up,
and Anansi knew that he could not fall asleep.
He kept his eyes looking around, hoping to see signs of the golden slippers or the golden bowl, but he saw nothing.
Death closed the door and left Anansi alone.
Anansi sat in the darkness, twitching at every single sound, the rats scurrying over the roof. He could hear the bats flapping their wings outside, and he wished he could run away.
But late into the night, when Death felt sure that Anansi must be asleep, he glided along the corridor, opened the door, and there, in the middle of the room, in the middle of the night,
sat Anansi with his eyes wide open, peering around the room.
"Why are you still awake?" bellowed Death.
And that trickster said to Death, "Oh, Death, I'm not very comfortable here. You see, I find it very hard to sleep without my golden sandals. Do you have a pair of golden sandals that I could borrow?"
Well, Death thought this was quite unusual and knew he must be up to some tricks, but he did not pay Anansi any attention.
"Yes, of course you can borrow a pair of my golden sandals."
He gave Anansi the sandals that the king so desperately wanted and told him to go to sleep.
But Death was not worried. He knew that Anansi could not stay awake for two whole nights. He would merely capture him the next night.
Well, in the morning, he welcomed Anansi to a banquet breakfast feast.
Oh, there was everything you could possibly imagine to eat in this room. It was filled with cocoa bread and eggs, and Anansi stared at all of the items.
But he did not touch a single thing.
"Why do you not eat?" said Death.
And Anansi, that trickster, said,
"Oh, Death, I would love to eat some of your delicious food, but I find it very hard to eat without my golden bowl. Do you have a golden bowl that I could borrow?"
And once again, Death knew Anansi must be up to his tricks,
but he gave him the golden bowl that the king so desperately wanted. Anansi took the exquisite bowl and pretended to eat some food. And when Death's back was turned, Anansi carried the bowl, put on the golden slippers, and began to tiptoe down the corridor. He managed to make it to the front door, but the slippers belonged to Death, and they called out to Death, alerting him to being stolen.
Anansi quickly hurried through the door, but Death was swift. He was right behind Anansi.
Anansi made it to the edge of the forest and he called out to the fire ants. "Ants, ants, remember you owe me a favour. Please slow up the feet of Death."
And as Death approached with his arm ready to capture Anansi, the fire ants swarmed around the feet of Death.
And they nipped and they bit at the feet of Death and they tickled Death and they slowed Death up.
By now, Anansi had reached a stream in the forest, and he called out to the stream,
help me, remember you owe me a favour, please slow up the feet of Death.
And the stream gently bubbled over and told Anansi to step inside.
It used its swift current to guide Anansi down the river towards his village. By the time Death arrived, the current was so strong that the stream had overflowed and turned into a swirling river, so swift and so deep that even Death could not cross.
Death looked up into the skies and bellowed out in rage,
"Anansi, I will catch you one day!"
Be sure to look over your shoulder. Anansi saw the skies darkened and he felt the ground quake with death's rage. But he did not mind. He was already back at his village. He quickly changed his clothes, freshened himself up, and went to visit the king. The king was so surprised to see Anansi. He felt sure that death would have eaten him. Anansi handed over the golden slippers and the golden bowl to the king and rubbed his hands with glee, waiting for his reward. But the king told Anansi that he would not give him any of his treasures until he could answer one more question. "Anansi," he said, "I saw a magnificent, colourful bird flying over my kingdom. Tell me the name of that bird, and then you shall have your reward." Anansi the trickster smiled broadly, and instead of telling the king it was really him in disguise, he made up a name and bragged. "Oh, my king, that bird! I know it well. It has a very long name." And in the language of the Akan people, Anansi said the bird was called Wasuro Asententa Wante Maninsem, which means, "You need patience to hear wisdom." "Ah," said the king, and nodded. "I should probably be more patient, and then I could gain more wisdom as a king." Anansi went deep down into the king's treasures and filled his pockets with piles of gold and coins, laughing to himself. He staggered out of the kingdom and into the sunshine and came face to face with death. And that is where we will leave Anansi for today. He spent many more stories hiding from death. Crick, crack. And that was that.
Oh, poor Anansi. I reckon he'll find a way of escaping from death again, don't you? Thank you very much, Wendy, for sharing that story. Now, here's my question. If you had to lay a trap for death so you could capture him and lock him away for a bit, what kind of trap would it be? Lots of you have been joining our club and hopping into our owlet's nest. So, thank you for being patient and waiting your turn to be mentioned. Let's say hello to some new owlets. We'll start in Canada and say hello to 6-year-old Clara from North Vancouver. Like me, she finds it hard to choose a favourite, but for the moment says that it's Baba Yaga and Ghost of the Bloody Finger. And now we're going to Hamilton in Ontario to say hello to owlets Vienna, who is 8, and Madeline, who is 5. Some of their favourite stories include Eggshell Soup, Anansi and the Magic Pot, and any Baba Yaga story. And down to North Carolina in the US now to say hello to Isla, who is 3.5, and to her little brother Rowan. Isla's favourite story is The Hairy Toe, and she often goes to London to see her grandparents and hopes to see a live Super Great Kids Stories show one day. And hello to 6-year-old Ziania. Her favourites are the Anansi and the Baba Yaga stories. And she sent us a beautiful picture of another of her favourites, Nora and the Aki Fruit. Thank you very much for that, Ziania. And hello to Hannah in California, who is almost 7. You might even be 7 now, Hannah. Hannah is also a big fan of the Hairy Toe story. Welcome to the nest. And welcome to Rosalie, who is 5, from Sonora in California. Her favourite story is also the Hairy Toe, and her baby brother Jonah is 1, and he listens along too, though he's not quite able to say yet what his favourite story is. Might be the Hairy Toe too. What do you think, Rosalie? And hello and welcome to Henry, who is 5 and lives in Florida. He listens to stories every morning on his way to school, and he likes The Ghost of the Bloody Finger. Let's fly now to the UK, to Folkestone in Kent, to say hello to 5-year-old Joseph and his little sister Eloise. His favourites are the How and Why tales, especially How the Phoenix Got Its Feathers. He's been listening since August, and his family say he remembers in lots of detail the stories that he listened to months ago. Oh, lucky you, Joseph. I think you might be a storyteller. Ooh. Welcome to the nest. And hello now to Parker from Montana in the US, who lives by Glacier National Park. His favourite story is The Luck Child and the Baba Yaga stories. Parker also liked The Bear Who Stole the Chinook, which is a story from the Blackfeet Indian Nation people. And Parker shared a link to a wonderful song all about the story, sung by local artist Jack Gladstone. You can find it easily on YouTube. Do check it out. It's really good. And hello to Campbell, who's been listening to Super Great Kids Stories for about a year. He lives in Simi Valley in California. Campbell loves listening to the stories in the car. His favourites are Mama Dragger and The Tinderbox. Very good choices, Campbell. And over now to Wellington in New Zealand to welcome owlet Nora, who is 5. Her absolute favourites are all the Anansi stories. And she also gets excited by Irish and German fairy tales, since she has Irish and German connections in her family. Lucky you, Nora. Happy listening and welcome to the nest. And a big hello to the Madison children, who live in Gympie in Australia. Ruby is 9, Juniper is 6, Jack is 4, and Lily Rose is 1. Ruby's favourite stories are The Four Dragons and Cap of Rushes. Juniper's are the Baba Yaga stories and also Cap of Rushes. And Jack's favourite is The Ghost of the Bloody Finger. And Lily Rose is 1 and just loves them all. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Welcome to the nest. And a warm welcome to 4-year-old Astrid in Tulsa, Oklahoma, whose favourite story on repeat is Anansi and the Hot Pepper Soup. And I'm told that Astrid is enjoying telling her own stories. Astrid, you're a storyteller. Welcome to the nest. Now, lots of you have sent brilliant drawings to our Facebook page. I have 2 Pick of the Week pictures, both inspired by Irish stories. 5-year-old Zoe has drawn a really good picture of Molly and the leprechaun, with a little leprechaun and a big rainbow and, of course, a huge pot of gold. And another creative drawing inspired by our St. Patrick's Day story, Finn McCool and the 7 Little Helpers, was sent in by 7-year-old Isla from Aotearoa in New Zealand. Isla has drawn all the little helpers in the boat, and the huge one-armed witch is looming above them and screaming as the arrow from the little helper hits the small spot on the palm of her hand. Ha! Curtains for you, Mrs. Witch. Very well drawn, Isla. Thank you for that. If you'd like to see all the super great pictures sent in this week, go to facebook.com/supergreatkidsstories. More Owlet welcomes next week. Thanks for being patient. And thanks to all of you who are subscribing to our podcast. If you'd like to support our podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Patreon, we'll say hello to you on the programme. You can hear our stories advert-free, and you'll get over 38 bonus stories and at least 20 super great scary stories. For more information, go to our website at supergreatkidsstories.com. Ooh. Happy holidays, and tune in for another really fun trickster story next week. This podcast was produced at Wardour Studios in fabulous Fitzrovia in London.